This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. The next big item on the Biden administration's legislative agenda is to pass a sweeping $2.3 trillion, that's trillion with a T, dollar infrastructure plan, which the administration is calling the American Jobs Plan. President Biden has said he sees the initial proposal as a starting point and is open to compromise between Republicans and Democrats, but not in action. Here he is discussing the proposal last week.
It's not a plan that tinkers around the edges. It's a once-in-a-generation investment in America. Unlike anything we've done since we built the interstate highway system and won the space race decades ago, it's the single largest investment in American jobs since World War II. And it's a plan that puts millions of Americans to work to fix what's broken in our country. Democrats and Republicans will have ideas about what they like and what they don't like about our plan. That's a good thing. That's the American way. That's the way democracy works. Debate is welcome. Compromise is inevitable. Changes are certain. In the next few weeks, the Vice President and I will be meeting with Republicans and Democrats to hear from everyone. And we'll be listening. We'll be open to good ideas and good faith negotiations. But here's what we won't be open to. We will not be open to doing nothing.
The plan could have significant effects in Illinois, particularly for rural areas and the agriculture industry. It includes funding for rural bridges and road repairs, rural broadband access, and funding to move U.S. agriculture towards being carbon neutral by the year 2050. Joining us now to talk about the plan and what it could mean for farmers and rural areas in Illinois are two agriculture reporters. Jackie Fatka is a policy editor for Farm Progress. Hello, Jackie. Welcome to the 21st.
Hello. Thanks for having me today.
And Ben Nully is an associate editor for AgriPulse, covering ag and food policy. Hello, Ben. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, we want to invite you to join our conversation. What do you think of President Biden's infrastructure plan, especially if you're a farmer or you live in a rural area? What would you like to see from an infrastructure bill? Again, if the number to call is 800-222-9455, that's 800-222-9455. And we also want to note that on Thursday's show this week, we're scheduled to have a conversation with U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack, where we will discuss the Biden infrastructure plan more, plus other topics. So be sure to listen Thursday as well. Ben, I want to begin with you. Before we get into the specifics of the $2.7 trillion infrastructure plan, can you talk about how the Biden administration is trying to sell this plan and why now?
Yeah, they're trying to sell this, especially in terms of the rural America portion of it, by increasing funding for things like rural broadband, as well as, I believe, helping out improving 10,000 or so bridges across the country. But they're having there's five cabinet secretaries looking at trying to sell this plan, obviously one being the Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. But it will be interesting to see as they try to sell this to rural America. Right now, there is $100 billion for broadband, which is one thing that a lot of folks have realized over the pandemic is necessary in portions of rural America as well as urban America. But it will be definitely interesting to see as well where they can connect with these folks and if they can get Republicans on board with this plan.
And Jackie, when was the last time the U.S. had one of these big infrastructure updates, if the U.S. has ever had one quite like this?
You know, this is definitely unprecedented in the amount that they're spending. You mentioned the trillion, the T on this. When you look at what we've done in past, we've done some highway bills and some waterway funding, but nothing at this scope. So, you know, a couple years ago, 5 years ago, we did see the five-year highway bill, and it was $305 billion over 5 years. What we're looking for in this package for transportation infrastructure is $621 billion. So more than what we saw that past time. You know, I think for rural America, there was some specific notation in the proposal from the president to make sure that 10,000 bridges in rural America would be looked at it in money would go towards that. So of the 45,000, 10,000 of those worst smaller bridges would get some money. So they're trying to target some specific funds for rural America, which I think is a positive step forward. But yes, a lot of extra stuff beyond just infrastructure in this bill.
And maybe we should just be clear about it for people who are not familiar. Roads and bridges in rural America, this is not just for, you know, getting to the store to get groceries. I mean, this is crucial for the industry that is key in rural America, getting products to market, right? Can you talk about that relationship and how infrastructure plays into agriculture?
I don't think it's any rocket scientist needed for farmers to know that they've got to get their beans to the local elevator, and then it's got to be able to get to the barge to get down to the river. There's some money here for the waterways, $17 billion for waterways. I remember I grew up on a small farm in Southwest Iowa, and there was a little bridge on the dirt road to get to the field that my dad would need to get to. They decided to shut down that bridge. And so then all of a sudden he's got to go 4 miles around instead of a quarter mile to the other road he needs to get to. Little things like that, that we sometimes forget, but all of a sudden if a bridge doesn't work, or we are having huge combines that have to go across a bridge, it becomes a completely different picture than, you know, maybe those big bridges that are put in around the cities. And so I think definitely that rural versus urban discussion of where money needs to go on infrastructure is important for those who depend on it for their livelihood, like farmers do.
And Ben, in your reporting, you've talked about the plan allocating funding for agriculture resources management as a way to position U.S. ag to lead the shift to net zero. Can you talk about that and other areas where the bill is looking at climate through the lens of agriculture, or looking at agriculture through the lens of climate, maybe is how I should say that.
Yeah, there's about $1 billion for proposed agricultural resources management, which is basically as a way for the administration to sell that U.S. agriculture can help lead this shift to net zero emissions, and kind of referencing what the Biden administration's goal of being carbon neutral by 2050. There's also some sort of unspecified amount for drought resilience, but this whole research towards kind of these climate solutions, Senate Agriculture Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow had expressed interest in using kind of climate and this infrastructure bill to increase funding for conservation programs heading into writing the next farm bill here in 2023. There's modest steps in that direction. But still looking at kind of how the USDA plans to use the Commodity Credit Corporation when it comes to spending authority for something like a carbon bank. That's something Republicans are expressing concerns is how the administration would use that. There's also $180 billion in earmarks for research and development. This includes things like research at USDA for Agricultural Research Service, the National Agricultural Statistics Service, and Economic Research Service, to name a few. But definitely still trying to figure out some of the broader details of what this ag and conservation portion of the bill actually means.
Okay, and we will continue digging into that after we take a short break. We're talking about the infrastructure plan, specifically as it relates to agriculture. More to come. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the Biden administration's $2.3 trillion infrastructure plan, specifically how it could relate to rural areas and the agriculture industry and farmers here in Illinois. We're speaking with Ben Nully, who's an associate editor for AgriPulse, covering ag and food policy, and also Jackie Fatka, who's a policy editor for Farm Progress. We want to invite you to join our conversation, especially if you are a farmer or you live in a rural area or you work in the agriculture industry. 800-222-222. 800-222-9455 is our number, 800-222-9455. What would you like to see in an infrastructure bill? Again, we're particularly interested in hearing from people in rural areas. Or if you have any questions, 800-222-9455. The number again, 800-222-9455. We also asked our texting group about this, text the 21st. And Wendy in Urbana said, I think the plan is a must. We have critical needs the plan will fulfill, like broadband for all, long deferred road and bridge maintenance, and not sure of the extent of this in the plan, but schools need to be rebuilt to include appropriate air quality and ventilation, as well as modern HVAC, HVAC. The plan is said to include improving the drinking water in 400,000 schools and childcare facilities. I'm not sure if there's room in the plan for improving air quality and ventilation in schools, like Wendy mentioned, Jackie, but it does speak to the point of there are a lot of things that need to be addressed. It's expensive. So can you talk a little bit, Jackie, about how President Biden is proposing paying for this plan?
So there is going to be some more details out, but kind of as a first look at how they're looking to pay for this, they are promising not to raise taxes on those who make over $400,000, and also changing the corporate tax code and corporate tax rate, and increasing the taxes on corporations from the 21% that we saw actually in the reconciliation bill in the first term or the first year of the Trump administration, increasing that to 28%. Obviously, the fact that you have want, if they do use this in reconciliation, there has to be a budget component to it. We do often see tax cuts or tax changes used through the reconciliation process. And so, yes, we could see that being paid for, but we also know that if you want to get all of the Democrats on board with supporting this, which is what you would need to have, all 50 Democrats, that we may not have 100% support from Democrats. We've heard the senator from West Virginia, who's a Democrat, not in favor of maybe this proposal as it now sits.
Well, let me read another text here we got from a listener. Randy in rural Peoria says, I'm a farmer and the need is great. Here is the problem, he says in all caps. As hard as it may be to understand, local governments are too corrupt to administer funds. The officials give money and favor to people they like, not to projects that are right. The very people who are most environmental in the rural communities are often the most disliked. The rural landscape is in bad need of help, and the people who are in control are the ones abusing it. Could be a disaster. Ben, you've spoken to leaders in the agriculture industry. Are you hearing concerns like the ones that Randy brings up? And if not, what are they saying about this proposal?
I spoke with Mike Steenhuck. He's executive director of the Soy Transportation Coalition. And kind of when we were watching as the administration comes out with this plan, he did mention that he had a concern that potentially Americans may be getting fatigued in a way of these trillion-dollar packages that continue to come out of Washington. We saw a lot of the COVID packages last year come through that have been around $1 trillion or more. And it will be interesting to see how the administration will use Secretary Vilsack to kind of connect with these rural Americans who may be wanting to know exactly how this money is getting spent and how they're going to benefit. But Steenhuck also mentioned that he was expressing some sort of concern about what you could see on the Republican side of expanding funding in areas of home health care and housing that would draw some criticism from Republicans. But his argument mainly was the infrastructure bill should kind of focus on things that we really need to get fixed, and kind of was worried if other aspects of this bill would cause the majority of Republicans and even maybe some Democrats, like Jackie mentioned, Senator Manchin, who may be concerned about how the Congress moves forward in passing this bill and what that looks like.
And Jackie, let's go a little deeper then on Senator Manchin. I mean, he's obviously a senator from West Virginia. He is often the thought of as the 50th Democratic vote for a lot of this more expensive, progressive, you know, the more progressive legislation is, he is thought to be the last Democrat they need to get to sign on. Some people have jokingly referred to him as the real majority leader because he has such, you know, so much sway over what can happen. He has called for bipartisanship. What do we know? What else can we say about where he stands on the proposal as it's out there now, Jackie?
You know, he's not the only. There's some other kind of small pieces of the tax package that there's other Democrats who have expressed some concern about. Interestingly, Senator Manchin's wife has actually been offered a position within the Biden administration. So I think that's kind of interesting. If you look back historically, you know, there's sometimes courting between these senators who are on the line when you look back to the Senator Majority, you know, Lott and Daschle all those years ago that had a very similar 50-50. And then sometimes you end up getting someone to actually cross party lines. I don't necessarily think Senator Manchin's going to do that. But there's other members too. You know, this afternoon, this is Monday, this afternoon, there are going to be some Republican and Democrat members that Biden is having to the White House. Senator Fisher is from Nebraska. She's a Republican. Senator Cantwell from Washington sometimes votes with Republicans. And so, you know, we do have a hope that we will have more people cross party lines. And I always say, I like policy and I don't like politics. And so sometimes politics get in the way of good policy. And when you're talking about $2 trillion, you know, what you said about that fatigue, we had $6 trillion, that's another T, trillion dollars worth of COVID aid last year. And a lot of that was warranted. But as we kind of come out of 2020 and what we saw with COVID, we do have to get to a point that we have to say, okay, well, what is the most important? And do we need everything? And I think you're going to see more senators hopefully looking at that. But I think Senator Manchin is definitely going to be an important one to watch, as well as some of those other, even some of the Arizona senators. I think they will have some discussion on this, and all of this package will matter. I think we're going to see this draw out a little bit longer than how fast we saw the COVID package come out. I think we'll see some more time in developing from what is coming from the White House through Congress, rather than just what we saw with the last COVID package, kind of coming completely top down, not a lot of input from Congress on what was actually in that final package.
Well, Jackie, let's talk about one more policy aspect of this proposal, and that is an increase in broadband access to rural areas as well as tribal lands. Can you talk about how that would play out? What would that mean on the ground?
Yeah, so obviously for farmers, broadband is more and more important, whether it's linking up their tractor in the field, being able to send their data to the cloud. This morning, actually, the White House sent some detailed state information. And for Illinois, actually, they were saying that 7% of Illinoisans live in areas where there is no broadband infrastructure or their speeds aren't high enough. In Iowa, it's a little bit higher, and it's actually 13.4%. I actually live in Ohio right now, and the number is actually much, much higher, or there's fewer providers that are competing. I live in rural Ohio, and I have one choice for who I can have for my broadband. Thank goodness it's high enough. But, you know, with what we're seeing out of COVID, broadband is important in making sure that it's available to everyone. So there is $100 billion that were proposed in the Biden plan for broadband. And I think a lot of people are comparing it very, very much to what we saw with the rural electrification and also just getting telephones out all those years ago. And for rural America, it's a lot more miles and a lot harder to justify the cost that it sometimes cost and that it would take to lay that fiber down or get broadband out to some of these areas. And so we've been talking about rural broadband for over a decade now and the need to do that. And so, you know, maybe this is the time where we finally see some money devoted to really building out that infrastructure for rural broadband.
Ben Nulli, the President Biden's infrastructure plan also has $5 billion earmarked for a new rural partnership program. Can you talk about what does that consist of? What would that mean for rural areas?
The rural partnership program, the White House offered, when we reached out to find out what more that was going to entail, they provided very kind of little detail, but basically this money would be spent to help what they said rural regions, including tribal nations, and build on assets and realize visions for inclusive communities and economic development, and basically help rural regions empower them by supporting local-led planning and building efforts and that sort of thing. It also, the proposal also includes $56 billion for earmarks, updating drinking water, wastewater, and stormwater systems across rural America, but still kind of trying to learn a little bit more about what this rural partnership program would look like out of the White House. And I think that's something where we can look to Congress here in the next month or so as they kind of develop the broader, or I guess more specific details about this infrastructure program and or proposal rather, and where things are going.
And Jackie, we talked about carbon neutrality earlier in this conversation. There's a lot else in the Biden plan about clean energy, including $174 billion to quote unquote win the electric vehicle market. What might that mean for the American auto industry?
You know, I think we're going to wait and see. You know, there obviously is a big push from this administration and the Democrat Party to push more electric vehicles. You know, we're seeing that in California already and transitioning completely over to electric. But for those in rural America, this is somewhat concerning from the fact that biofuels are 46% less. They produce 46% less greenhouse gases than gasoline. And so there was a lot of hope that within the biofuels support, they would find a place as part of this climate solution. And that wasn't necessarily what we saw with this proposal anyway. I think there was a lot of hope that the president campaigned on that platform of using every tool at his disposal to promote and advance renewable energy and ethanol and biofuels. But what we saw in this plan was nothing that encouraged the use of biofuels or recognized the role with biofuels. And this climate discussion too, you know, another part of that is actually there's some focus within this plan to what they're calling resilient infrastructure. So if you look at Illinois and Iowa last year with what they saw with the derecho storm, we're seeing more hurricanes that are coming through. We're seeing greater intensity of wildfires, flooding that is taking complete bridges out. You know, you looked at Nebraska a couple years ago and the Missouri River, and we are seeing intense weather events. And so the White House is the same kind of summary sheets that they've sent out on all the different states. You know, from 2010 to 2020, Iowa has experienced 32 different extreme weather events, costing the state up to $50 billion in damages. And so they are looking to improve the resiliency of that infrastructure and recover from disasters better. And in the same, just being able to take some of those dollars and put it into something that hopefully will have to be rebuilt every couple of years, because these 100-year flood events or these extreme events are happening more often and causing billions of dollars worth of damage.
Absolutely. And I've said this on the show before, but there's a Moody's report that came out a year or two ago that said Western Illinois in particular was going to be one of the worst spots in America for an increase in extreme heat days. And that is all the time we have for our conversation today. I want to thank Jackie Fatka, who's policy editor for Farm Progress, and Ben Nulli, who is associate editor for AgriPulse, covering ag and food policy. Thank you both for being here with me today on the 21st. And listeners, that is all the time we have. As I mentioned, we are planning to also speak with U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack this Thursday. If you have questions for him, we'd love to hear from you. Talk@21stshow.org is our email address. You can also join our texting group. Send the word talk to 217-803-0730. More on that at our website. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.